And just in case you missed it, we have a gifts retreat coming up. You might have missed that in the 473 times that we've brought it up. It's only 2 weeks from yesterday. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And then we have our gifts class on Saturday, the day before Easter. What Rod just said, if I wasn't planning on going, I'd be going. That's just to be a part of something that is that significant to the Lord. I think it's that significant to Him because it's that significant for us as a body. When Rod gets up and speaks, and other folks that do so, and they're speaking on behalf of the Lord, that's called prophecy. It's not prophecy like Old Testament prophecy, but it's speaking what the Lord would have to say, and we need to listen to that. But that's one of the spiritual gifts, and we'll learn more about that. But when the Lord speaks, I often try and think of this in this sort of term, as if the Lord just walked in through the back door there, and that was a normal thing, and then just said something. Hey, you know, on the way home, pick up milk. I know, on the way home, I'd pick up milk. If Jesus told me to do it. So it's helpful when the Lord speaks for us to try and figure out what is He saying, and how do we respond? Because the Lord's not going to speak if He's not expecting a response. And so I'm not saying any of that to say if you're not going to the gifts class that you're defying God. I'm not saying that. Every person has to respond to the Lord in their own context. That message was for us as a church. And we'll learn more about prophecy and exhortation and things like that. But we do have this class coming up, and I hope that you're looking forward to it. I hope you're looking forward in the terms not of the all the gifts that are out there, but that there's one for you. Might be more than one, might be a couple, the three, I don't know. It's everybody has different giftings from the Lord, and then those are expressed in different ways. But I hope in your thinking that you're thinking in terms of, I'm going to hear from the Lord. Yes. In the battle, in terms of exposed or that sort of thing. Oh, okay.
The spiritual battle is happening outside of that protected space.
Okay. What she said was that in Rod's vision, as she was hearing it, that if you're at the gifts class, you'd be protected because there's angels around it, and if you were not somehow, then you would be exposed in the battle. And again, yes, Marilyn. Need to respond.
It's really important.
I agree. As pastor and elder in the church, and I think I would speak on behalf of all the elders, we believe it's very important to be there. And we'll leave it at that. You read the Lord's word as He speaks to you in your way. And but this is what I'm anticipating, is that you, if you are there, will hear from the Lord, specifically from the Lord for your life and your ministry and how that works. But this will be the last sermon prior about gifts. Next week is Palm Sunday, as I said, and Jerry will be speaking at that. And so this is the last communication that you're going to have in terms of preparing for that. And so we're going to take a look at this section in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians takes this interjection, and three chapters of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is taken up to talk about gifts, and for the specific reason what Paul says here, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. It says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them, and just as a body, though one has many parts, all of its many parts form one body. And we've talked about this, that the intention, the design of the church is that all of us are a single piece in this larger body, which is Christ here on earth. That you're having this knee here and a hand there and an elbow and an ear and an eye and all of these pieces that make up Christ's representative body here on earth. And that's what this is talking about. And that's specifically what he says as he approaches the end of chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And I hope you've picked that up over the last few weeks, that you are not a piece of the church that's not connected. You are not an accident. You're not a unproductive piece. You're part of the body of Jesus Christ, specifically gifted to do whatever it is that you're gifted to do. That's what this is talking about, this chapter 12 stuff. As he comes to the end, though, he wants to make it clear. He says, are all apostles, it's an office and a gift. We'll talk more about that later. But all prophets, are all teachers. And the implied answer to this is no. So they're not all apostles. We're not all prophets. We're not all teachers. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to all of those is no. Everybody's different. Everybody's part of this, some of this, but nobody is all of this. And then he ends with this interesting encouragement. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he doesn't say much more about that. He just says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. But the implication is, at the bottom line, we're supposed to want to be gifted in the kingdom. Why? Because we're supposed to want to be able to function in the kingdom. Our desire inside of our heart, because we love Jesus and we know the world needs Jesus, is that we would be empowered through a spiritual gift to impact the body of Christ and the kingdom of God out in the world. That's the implication. And then the desiring the greater gifts, I'm not going to address that too much right now, because the next line, I think, is where we're going. And I'll show you a still more excellent way. If you're not a Bible highlighter, then don't. But if you are and you got your Bible there, this is an important statement. He's gotten through all of chapter 12 and talking about gifts and us being part of the body and all these things. He then says we're not all any of these things. And desire gifts. And then this last little tag. But I'm going to show you something better. Even after spending an entire chapter talking about gifts, he said, but I've got something better, and I want you to continue reading. The gifts are important, and I want you to desire to be of service in the kingdom, but I've got a more excellent way. And then we're familiar with this, but we're going to run through it. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's famous for being the love chapter, but let's take a little bit of a look. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And if you don't see what's happening there, I'll change it up here just a little bit. He's putting in the gifts into the text he's talking about. This first part, men and angels, teaching and speaking in tongues. So that's the gifts of talking to men and talking of angels. Teaching and speaking in tongues. You move down and it's prophecy and edification. You go down a little bit further, it's the gift of faith. In verse 3, giving, and then service and hospitality. He doesn't list them all because that doesn't need to. He's saying all of these gifts, if I have all of these gifts, if I have the unbelievable capacities of these gifts, but if I don't have love in each set, he says this, if I don't have love, if I don't have love, if I don't have love. The first one, if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. That's the one where if I have these voices, the ability to communicate in such an amazing way, if I have that capacity, but I don't have love, I'm the same as just somebody banging on a piece of metal, which gets old in a hurry. I'm already tired of it. But if you have all the gifts to communicate in whatever language it might be communicating in, but you don't have love, it's nothing. And he continues on. The next one, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I don't have love, I gain nothing. There's three things there, each one of them. If I don't have love, I'm a clanging cymbal. If I don't have love, I am nothing. And then if I do not have love, I gain nothing. There's three things. The impact, nothing. Me as a person, nothing. Progress in my own faith, nothing. If what? If I don't have love. Remember, he started off in saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. These gifts can be a distraction. And it's the warning that I want us to have as we go into a couple of weeks from now. These gifts are not the gift. These gifts are not the focus. I was driving downtown the other night with Judy. We were going to see some show, and it was kind of dark. Well, it was dark because it was dark, but it was also a little bit rainy. And I was on the road and gotten into the turn lane. And I'm watching the lights because there's a red light and I'm waiting to turn. And then the light turns green and I start to go and turn. And then this car goes by and I'm like. And then I realize it's not his fault. It's my fault because the light that I saw that turned green was for the bike lane. Now, I will say that this is one of the dumbest designed light systems I've ever seen in my life. There's a red light there, and there's a red light there, and they're right by each other. And if you have vision like mine, which is not what it used to be, the little bike doesn't look like a bike. It just looks like a light. As I got closer, I realized, hey, that's a little bicycle. Oh, I'm about to die. Because the light changed, but I couldn't see it clear enough. So I just thought, green light, go. My vision wasn't good enough for the system. The system probably was fine. I might argue that in a different city planning thing, but right here for the story, the system was fine. My vision wasn't. Keep that story for a second. He goes into talking about love and what it actually is. He's got through saying, if you don't have this, nothing else matters. It's not going to come to anything. It's not going to amount to anything. It's not going to make you anything. You're going to be nothing. You're going to gain nothing if you don't have this thing. And so he says, love is, and then I'm going to take some of the words out and just put up what he says. It is patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, not proud, it does not dishonor, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. And it ends in 13:8 by saying, love never fails. I teach a relationships unit in my psychology class at Highline High School. And so we talk about love and what love is. And I don't ever tell them, but my goal is to help them understand what God's love is. It's actually a thing and it's not a feeling. And we spend a fair amount of time on it. And inevitably, I'll ask them the question, can you fall out of love? Because the world teaches that love is something you fall into. You're just walking along, and next thing you know, boom, hey, I'm in love. And that actually is what happens, but the reality is that's called infatuation. That's not love. Love isn't a feeling, because feelings go away. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I'd be pretty excited for a week or two or a month, and who knows how long, but at some point, that feeling's going to fade, and so is infatuation, so it can't be love. Love's not an emotion, because emotions by definition are temporary. That's the end of my psychology class. We'll come back to this. Love never fails, but the world's definition of love, it fails all the time because it's a feeling. It has to, by definition, fail. It has to stop if love's simply, I feel affectionate toward you. Goes away. Love never fails. You ever have anybody say, but? Because it's the next word in the text. Love never fails, but. Hey, you know, I'm really sorry that I did this thing to you, but. You ever have an apology given to you that is followed by a but? One T. What that but means is I've got a good reason for what I did. What I did's okay. I know that I was rude to you when we were at the store, but I was having a bad day. Meaning that that makes it okay. Is that a real apology? I don't think so either. That's not what this but is. This is not an exception to love never fails. Now, you could argue this is a cheap preacher's trick to get your attention, and it is, but I'll go with it. The text here matters. Love never fails. Now, he's saying but because it does apply to this statement, but it applies to the statement as the statement ends the earlier teaching about everything he was talking about before. He has finished speaking about all the things that gifts are, and then talks about what love is, and concludes by saying love never fails, but, and the but's going all the way back to chapter 12. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. These gifts are temporary. The gifts that you're going to learn about if you don't know about them, or you're going to learn more about if you already do, the gifts that you're going to get are going to stop mattering. They're not eternal. They're not about who you are as a person and your position as a saved follower of God. They're a tool for you to use to minister in the kingdom. They're temporary. They will stop at a point. It says right here, where there's knowledge, and this is the gift of knowledge, it will pass away. Now, look at this next section, 13:9-12. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now, this middle section, I'm not going to read because it's a little bit confusing, and it's not. If it's Sunday school, I'd spend more time on it. I want to get to verse 12. For now we see dimly as in a mirror. Gift of knowledge is a real thing, but we have that gift of knowledge in part. Gift of prophecy is a real gift that God will communicate through a person what he's wanting to say to a person or group of people. Gift of prophecy. Old Testament prophecy, done. We'll talk at some other time if you want to understand that. New Testament prophecy, God moving on a person who has the gift of prophecy and saying, I want you to communicate this message. It's relevant small scales, relevant to a person or a small group or maybe a church. There's no prophecy anymore that is for the kingdom. That's Old Testament prophecy. Old Testament prophet, capital P. New Testament prophet, I think I've got a word for you. But what we have to keep in mind, whether the gift is prophecy or teaching or any other thing, is verse 12. We see dimly as in a mirror. What does that mean? It means we might be wrong. It means we might be doing it wrong. It means we might be saying it wrong. It means we might not be hearing from the Lord. We might be hearing from the cheese pizza that had been in the fridge too long last night. It's possible. We have to keep this in our minds, and I'm giving us this warning now, and we'll have it a number of times. You have to operate your gifts gently, not authoritatively, not commandingly. You offer your gifts reverently. This is what I think the Lord's saying. Rod got up and shared. Was that God? We don't know yet. That one, because it was an image of a scene we won't get insight to until we're out of this world, We won't know 100% for sure. But I know Rod, and I know Rod's heart, and I know Rod's gifting as best as I understand him at this point, and I have good cause to think what he shared came from the Lord. So I'm going to operate as though it were accurate. But I can give you this. If Rod continues to get up and share from the Lord, there'll be a time when what he says either isn't for you, or it might not be right. And that's okay. It doesn't mean it's okay to just freelance. Hey, you know, I'll try this, and maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. Doesn't matter if we're talking about gut gift of knowledge, gift of teaching, gift of prophecy, gift of service. People with the gift of service, the Lord will move on them and say, I want you to go serve and help this person. They might be wrong. I want us to be very careful to never believe we're God. Or believe that we have a direct pipeline to him. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But Paul makes it very clear. We wrestle with our dead man that comes along with us. And there will be times when we're wrong. And we have to operate knowing that. We can't put ourselves in the position of the capital P prophet. Or the capital T teacher. Or the capital P pastor. Or anything else. I stand here every day that I preach. And I want you to keep in your mind, I might be wrong. You have to test it with Scripture. You have to test it with your own spirit. You have to test it in the community. Could be wrong. Because why? We see through a glass darkly. We see dimly as in a mirror. Your translation might say a lot of different things. The one place where it could be confusing is where it says, if it just says we see in a mirror, NIV just says that. The problem is today's mirrors are so good. When he was writing, the mirrors were like looking in a pond that has been a little bit muddy and stirred up. And he's like, yeah, I can kind of see. He's trying to say we don't have a handle on it entirely. Never act as though you do. So we go back to this. Are all apostles or prophets or teachers or workers of miracles and having gifts of healing? No, we're not all that. But we're something in there. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. I'm going to show you the more excellent way. What is that more excellent way? Love. His chapter 12 is a complete package about the gifts that God has for you. And then he interrupts himself. He entirely stops his progression. He's going to go back to gifts again in chapter 14. But in chapter 13, he entirely stops and said, I'm going to show you the more excellent way. These gifts matter, but not that much. What does is this. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So he goes into chapter 13 and talks entirely about love, because love is God. This is what I can't teach in public school psychology. Love comes from God. Love is the fabric of God. God is composed of love. So why is this the most excellent way? Why is it? Because what we're really wanting, the greatest gift, the only gift that one's going to last for eternity, is God. Why would you come to a gifts class on a week from Sunday, Saturday, to get more of God? To understand God more. If you want to come to a gifts class and get your gifts and understand what they are so that you can be more important in the church or have and know how to do something or whatever it might be, don't come. Unless you want to come because you love God and you want to serve God and you want to bring more glory to God, don't come. Because you'll be wasting your time. Not ours, but yours. It's so easy to get caught up in the decorations. It's so easy to forget what really matters. I've heard people in knockdown, drag-out arguments about the gift of tongues and separate from churches and separate relationships and at the very best develop hatred for somebody who disagrees with them about a gift. when he immediately has followed talking about those gifts, not everybody speaks in tongues, not everybody's a prophet, but let me show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way is love, because love, God. The most excellent way is God. And if you want more of God, this is where you get it. We know in part, and we're going to prophesy in part, and we're going to teach in part, we're going to practice our gifts badly probably at times. We're not going to see things clearly 100% of the time, but what we can do is take the most excellent way, God. Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another." The funny thing is, it wasn't a new command. Remember the greatest command, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus needed to narrow it down and help people understand. And I'm going to narrow it down today as best as we can. I don't care about gifts unless we got the love thing. If the gifts become more important than the love, then the gift's useless. That's what he says. You'll be a clanging cymbal. You'll gain nothing. You'll be nothing if you don't have love. So what does all that mean? It means between now and the 30th, is it the 30th? 31st? I will show up at the right time. Between now and then, check your heart and ask yourself, is my first goal more of God? Is my first goal bringing glory to God? You were created to bring glory to God. The gifts will detract from that until that's your primary purpose of bringing glory to God by being filled with love for him and for other people. If you get that, if you get the most excellent way, then the other ways will come easily. If you miss the most excellent way, the other ways will be meaningless. Amen? Amen.
There's only one gift that won't cease. All the other ones are going to stop because they will no longer be necessary. The gift of love, which actually isn't even in the list because it's directly from God for all believers. It's not like the other gifts. The other gifts are specific things that you will have. Every single believer will have love and grow in love because God is love. And that's why it won't cease. Love will never cease. That's why we need love first. It's never going to fail. That's why he says earlier, love never fails, because God never fails. And it covers all the other things if they go wrong. If somebody uses their gift wrong, if somebody gets hurt, if something happens, it covers it because love never. So don't stop seeking Jesus. And don't stop seeking being of use to him either. But the order of operations is more love, useful gifts, not the other way around. Don't get lost in the gifts. Just find it and use it in love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.